Intellectual property or IP. It's an issue that can confound Australian businesses looking to dive into China. For a long time, China was described as the land of copycats, but the government says it's strengthening its IP laws. So what is the true state of the issue here, and how can Australian companies protect themselves against potential problems? Well, welcome to another instalment of the AusChan podcast. I'm your host, Kate. Until recently, the Australian government didn't have anybody on the ground in Beijing who could help businesses navigate the IP landscape. But that changed with the arrival of David Bennett as Australia's first IP counsellor, and he recently stopped by the AusChan Beijing office for a chat. During our conversation, he shed some light on China's IP systems and details practical steps for Australian businesses.
One of the things Australian businesses need to understand is that while there are still IP issues in China, the system and the situation is a lot better than it was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So things aren't perfect, but if you go about things in the right way, if you take the right measures and preparations, you can take reasonable steps to protect your IP here. So the first message I want to give is one of encouragement. We have an image that is somewhat out of date in Australia of IP in China. Mm-hmm. And if you proactively engage with the systems, you stand a good chance of protecting your IP here.
I understand China's framework is fairly young.
Yeah, so the trademark and patent law date from 1983, 1984, whereas in Australia we have over 100 years and going back further into the English common law. So the Chinese systems have developed in an incredibly short time, and they've made amazing progress in that time and continue to make progress at a rapid pace.
Now, let's go back to the beginning, to what China was like before the government really focused its attention on tackling IP. What IP problems were Australian companies encountering in China?
Well, for a long time, China was the country of copycats, where every product would be copied and reverse engineered and made knockoffs of. That still happens to some extent, but it's been reduced a huge amount and continues to decline. So you're far less likely to find counterfeit goods in local markets and things like that than you would have been, you know, even up to 5 years ago or so.
Yeah. And so it's offline and online?
Yeah, so before e-commerce, things would have been on the offline markets. With the huge growth in e-commerce in China, there have been issues with a lot of fakes on e-commerce sites. Mm-hmm. But the e-commerce sites themselves are proactively fighting against this. They want to have a good reputation. They want consumers to be able to go on and buy brands on there and trust that what they're getting is genuine. So they're actually taking a lot of steps themselves and working with brand owners to crack down on counterfeits on their platforms.
Yeah, because I was reading about a skincare company which had to buy back its brand after a former Chinese distributor secretly registered it. And then there was this Victorian fresh milk brand which was stolen and registered in China before the products were even produced. So I think the cases highlight the importance of being aware of China's first-to-come, first-to-file system.
Exactly,
because as I understand, like, irrespective of who produces it, you know, first or registered in another country, it all comes down to who registered it in China first.
Yeah, that's a really important point, and it's something that all Australian businesses need to be aware of, that it's a first-to-file trademark system in China. So you have to register your trademark as early as possible in order to get that registration. If you don't, anyone else can apply for your mark, and then, as you said, in these situations, the Australian company might be in a situation where they have to negotiate, had to buy it back, or they'd be infringing that mark.
Yeah.
So this is a huge problem in China. The Chinese system recognises it as a problem, is taking steps to address it, but for the moment, the only real way to avoid it is to file as early as possible. So companies should not be doing test sales in China or, you know, seeing how it goes for a while before putting money into registering a trademark. They should be registering a trademark if they're even thinking about the possibility of doing business in China in the future.
Yeah.
A trademark registration is valid for 10 years and can be renewed indefinitely. So it's best to do it well before entering the market.
Yeah.
So extremely early in probably the business strategy.
And ideally before you even make your brand public. If you're developing a Chinese brand or a new brand.
Mm-hmm.
In some of the extreme cases with trademark squatters who opportunistically register these brands to get a financial payout later, in the case of, say, the wine industry, when a winery releases a new brand or a new line or something, within days sometimes, you see someone registering a trademark for that in China, with hoping for a payout in future. So ideally register before you even publicize your brand.
And so we've touched on the registration side of it. What else should businesses do when they're preparing to enter the market here? What about like legal advice and making sure that you're across all the nuances of the Chinese laws, particularly coming from Australia?
Yeah, it's absolutely important to get good Chinese legal advice and understand that this isn't something that an Australian attorney would necessarily be able to provide, or an Australian lawyer. China has its own legal system, it's got its own quirks, and you need a Chinese lawyer who understands all of that. So things like drafting contracts in general should be done by an experienced Chinese lawyer. There are common mistakes I see around choices of law and dispute resolution, where often an Australian lawyer has not recognised their own limitations, tried to draft something for China, and it's ended up in a contract that ultimately would not be enforceable in China. So it's key to get good legal advice and be willing to pay for it.
Another point that I've heard before is that companies should think about creating a Chinese language brand. I was reading IP Australia's latest guide and they said if Chinese customers don't like the sound or the impression of your brand, they may in fact refer to it by a different name, which could lead to you losing control of the brand. Can you explain that a bit more?
Yeah, so one example of this is the French wine company Castel, I think it's Europe's biggest wine company. It's got revenue over $1 billion. They thought they could just use their Castel, their Roman script term in China, and they found later their distributors, not wanting to use the Roman script term, had developed their own transliteration, the Casita, that they were writing on all their products. Because they didn't control this brand, they hadn't registered a trademark, that gave the opportunity for someone else to go and register that mark. And that's what happened. Some unrelated person went and registered the mark and sued them for trademark infringement.
Oh, wow.
And Castel lost that. So they had to develop a new Chinese brand and trademark that. They had to pay damages. They had to apologize. So that's a company who didn't develop a Chinese language brand. But it's also important to develop a good brand, because if the brand isn't appealing to consumers, they're going to develop something themselves. So it's not just a matter of getting a translation or transliteration of an English brand. It's about sitting down with Chinese branding professionals who understand Chinese consumers, live and work in China, to develop something that's really going to appeal. Then trademark that. File for the trademark before you make it public, before we put it on the website, publicise it in any way, and secure that brand.
Very interesting. And so when it comes to detecting infringements, where does that responsibility lie? Who has to monitor it, and how can you monitor it?
So essentially IP rights, trademarks, other things are private property rights. So it's up to the individuals to monitor and enforce. So it's not something that the Chinese government or the Australian government will do for a brand owner. They have to actively do that themselves. So at minimum, if you're an Australian exporting a product to China and you're in Australia, you should be checking on the e-commerce sites and looking to see if there's any infringing product on there. The e-commerce sites have set up IP protection platforms, and you register for them, you show evidence of your IP right, which would usually be a registered trademark, and then you can flag listings you believe to be infringing. The e-commerce platform will review those listings you've flagged and take them down if they find they're infringing. So this works well where people actively engage with it. It's no use sitting back and complaining about counterfeits on one of the platforms. The key is to get on there and actively engage to take them down.
And just say that you're monitoring this platform and you see that, you know, you believe somebody is infringing on your IP. What legal avenues are then open to you from that?
Yeah, so taking down infringing sellers online won't get to the root of the problem, which is counterfeit product. So if companies are having issues with counterfeit products, they can work with a law firm who can engage investigators to go and follow up further, use some of that information and intel from the online stores to investigate offline, mm-hmm. try and find the source of it. And then there are a range of different actions that can be taken with local enforcement authorities or the courts. And if infringing product being shipped out of China is a big issue, Chinese customs actually have the power to seize IP infringing goods before they leave China's borders,
mm-hmm.
which is a very powerful thing for brand owners if they engage with it.
Because could it be that, you know, just say someone in China has infringed on your rights and they might export it to another country, and so maybe you're not even considering the Chinese market? Does that happen?
Exactly. China's the source of between 75 and 80% of the world's infringing goods,
mm-hmm.
IP infringing goods. So if you can control goods leaving China's borders, like you say, you can stop infringing goods getting to Africa, to Europe, to the US.
Yeah.
So this is incredibly powerful for a brand owner.
And is it timely? Do you know if Australian companies have had success with this route yet?
Yes, yeah. It works best where brand owners are able to provide intel on expected infringing shipments going out and work with Chinese customs so they know when to swoop in, what to target. Customs will go and check shipments themselves and look for infringing product, but they can only scan, you know, a very small fraction of all the shipments going out of China. So that's where those investigators and law firms, again, with those services, can be of great value.
And President Xi has continued to stress the importance of innovation, and that's where he wants to see China progressing. And I know advancements in Australia's agricultural sector should generate a lot of interest from China in terms of tapping into that innovation. Given this innovation drive, is there anything else businesses can do to protect, you know, not only physical goods, but their ideas and the value of the technology against theft?
So any companies that have patentable technology should be filing for their patents in China. So IP rights are territorial. You only get an IP right in the jurisdiction that you file in. So a lot of companies will say they have patented technology. You dig a bit further, sometimes you find that means they've patented it in Australia, in the US, maybe in Europe. But it's unless they patent it in China as well, they don't have protection for that invention in China. So it's a basic thing, but simply being sure to register patents for inventions in China and then having an enforceable right is key to getting in on the market. So with that, you can license technology, you can have exclusive use of it yourself here in China, but you need to be registering.
You've said that China's made significant stride in its IP framework. Where does the focus now need to be?
Bad faith trademark filings that we talked about is still a huge issue here,
mm-hmm.
and they're trying to address it, but that's something that we really want to see good progress on. So that's still the biggest issue that Australian companies face in China. It doesn't just have to be physical products. It can also be if you're providing a service or if you're providing some technology offering, you're still going to have a brand associated with it. So it affects all sectors.
And any other tips for Australian businesses thinking of entering the market?
So part of my role has been helping IP Australia develop further resources about how to protect IP in China for Australians.
Mm-hmm.
So we've recently released a couple of new IP guides on our China section of our website. So people can find that at ipaustralia.gov.au/China. We've got a general China IP guide that sets out all the key messages we want to give around IP protection in China. So we also have a guide to searching the Chinese trademarks registry. People can use that as a sort of preliminary tool to get a bit of an idea of what's out there, whether they might have freedom to use their brand, whether someone else has a similar or identical trademark out there. It's not a substitute for a professional search by a trademarks attorney, but it's a quite easy first step people can take as they're thinking about the Chinese market.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, David. You've given us a lot of insightful pieces of information about the IP market. So, yeah, much appreciated.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. People can look at those resources for further information. And when it comes to specific things, my contact details are located in those guides as well.